You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Thursday, February 2nd, and we're talking Brewers baseball today, as always, with our Brewers reporter, Adam McKelvey. Adam, thank you so much for the time. And Adam, there continues to be speculation about where Chris Carter is going to end up next season. Lots of buzz that the big fella is going to be in Japan. What is the latest on the now former Brewer who led the league, lest we forget, in home runs last season with 41?
Yeah, well, here, I'll start you with a great stat, Matt. And I wrote this, I've written it a couple times. Chris Carter was the first reigning league home run champion cut loose by his team. In his case, he was non-tendered by the Brewers, who, instead of paying him, they thought up to $11 million in arbitration. $8 to $11 million was the probable number. They decided to sign Eric Thames, of course, for 3 years and 16. They thought that was a better use of the funds. Anyway, Chris Carter becomes the first reigning home run champ cut loose. The last or and only, as I know it, home run champ to not spend the next season in the major leagues was Ted Williams when he went off to World War II. So we're talking about a very odd situation for Chris Carter, a guy who went through this whole ordeal last offseason when he was non-tendered by the Astros after a down year. He had no idea he would be in this position this year. I think he thought, and a lot of people thought, he had really done everything the Brewers asked him to do, and he did. I mean, he hit 220 and hit a ton of home runs. That's what you expect out of Chris Carter. It's very unfortunate for him. It must be very frustrating for him that he's in a position to even have to consider opportunities in Japan. But that's where he is. His agent is Dave Stewart, the former D-backs GM who went back to the agency business after being relieved of his duties there in Arizona. He's trying. The Rays have been mentioned. The Rangers have been mentioned. The Rays are probably the best bet if he's to stay here. But it sounds as if those opportunities are not there. A guaranteed job is not there, that Chris Carter is at least willing to take that big bat over to Japan.
Yeah, I mean, you feel for the guy because, you know, like you said, it's a guy that, you know, he did what he was expected to do, and that is, you know, hit for a low average, strike out a lot, and hit a ton of home runs. And that's exactly, you know, check, check, and check. He did all three of those things last year, and you feel for a guy that deserves a spot on a major league team. He may have to go overseas, which is by no means a death sentence. There's plenty of great baseball in Japan, plenty of opportunities, but you're surprised at the same time that a major league club, at least as of yet, has not come calling for a guy that hit 41 home runs in 2016. Adam, in your opinion, does this whole saga say more about Chris Carter himself, or does it perhaps say more about this current age of baseball and the way that we assess value when it comes to certain players?
Definitely the latter. It is a change in Major League Baseball from, for a little bit, their power, and particularly right-handed power, being a pretty valued commodity in the game, it seems, because it became suddenly a rare commodity, to now this wave of GMs, the Ivy League GM, the stat-driven general managers, and even the wave of managers right now. It seems everybody is talking about positional versatility. And I don't know if this is the Ben Zobrist effect or if this goes back earlier than that, but everybody's looking for Ben Zobrist-type players. The Brewers have one in Hernan Perez, who stole 30 bases, had a really solid season at the plate, a switch hitter, can play literally all over the diamond. That's the kind of player Craig Counsell and David Stearns want on this Brewers team, and that's the kind of player other GMs and managers are looking for as well. So for a guy like Chris Carter, for players like Mark Trumbo, to some extent Encarnacion, Bautista, Mark Reynolds, all of these power hitters that, you know, we thought would be in pretty good position going into this winter in terms of finding a job, it's not turned out to be that way. I think it really represents a change in Major League Baseball about the type of player that that teams are valuing.
Yeah, I agree, and it's still stunning when you look at it on the surface without diving too deep into the numbers and the stats and everything like that, that a guy who hit 41 home runs is still unemployed. It's such a dramatic shift in thinking and philosophy and attitude as compared to even, you know, 5-10 years ago. But here's hoping that Chris Carter does find a major league home and continues to terrorize pitchers, at least in terms of the long ball, in 2017, because the guy certainly does deserve a shot somewhere. It's certainly not going to come, though, in Milwaukee. Speaking of a guy that's, Carter, a former Brewer, a guy that could become a future member of the crew, could be Matt Wieters. The free agent catcher is still out there. Somewhat surprisingly, a guy that's got multiple all-star appearances on his resume. He was very good for many years with the Baltimore Orioles. He's by no means old. I believe he's still only in his early 30s, but a report came out that it could be a fit between Wieters and between the crew. What is the latest, if anything, you're hearing about a possible union there?
Well, Wieters is 30. He's a very good player. He certainly would fit the Brewers, who parted with a longtime duo of Jonathan Lucroy and Martin Maldonado in a pair of trades, Lucroy in August to the Rangers and Maldonado to the Angels in December. So, yes, on paper, Wieters is a guy who could fit in Milwaukee. They have three unproven players, including Jet Bandy, a guy they got from the Angels for Martin Maldonado, that they're going to take a look at in spring. Now, this one is a tricky one because everybody I talk to at Brewers on Deck, their fan fest just happened earlier this week as we speak, said no, that they haven't shown a lot of interest in him. Besides, you know, it's just a normal kind of checking in due diligence. And it would be a surprise to the officials that I spoke to if they signed him. So it sounded to me like this could be a case of an agent. In this case, it's Scott Boras, you know, sort of floating a team that makes sense on paper to help along a market that maybe isn't developing the way he wants to for a player. That happens all the time in baseball. But Ken Rosenthal, who is sage and wise and above all else, pointed out something that I did not think of. It makes tremendous sense to me. That this is Scott Boras, and Scott Boras has worked with Mark Attanasio, the Brewers owner, in a direct fashion before on players. Kyle Loesch was one who signed a deal late in spring training, a big three-year deal. He has worked with Francisco Rodriguez directly with Mark Attanasio. There are examples of some contact there. Is that happening? Is it not? I don't know. Mark Attanasio did not address that at On Deck, and I'm sure he would not have if I had asked him anyway. That is just something to bear in mind, that this has happened before, that Mark has jumped on what he felt was a good opportunity late in camp and in working with Scott Boras. And Boras isn't the only one. It's happened with Matt Garza and his agents at CAA as well. That's just something for us to kind of keep in the back of our mind as we move forward here. If Wieters remains on that market, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that the Brewers would take a look. But just to get back to the where I began, you know, the front office people putting the team together, it did not sound to me like they are at this moment pushing very hard on that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it would be a good fit on a few different levels. But again, you know, there is some risk involved and a big reason why, you know, you mentioned the Boras part of the equation, which you cannot ignore. So we'll see where it goes. Maybe he's a guy that does sign late with the team and then 29 other teams come July are saying, man, that guy was out there. We could have had him, but Milwaukee jumped on it. Stranger things have happened. We'll see how it all shakes out.
And Matt, just not to jump on you there, sure. But that's a great thought as well because those 29 other teams could have him in July. If this works out and this is a short-term deal, you know, how many other players has David Stern split for prospects? And I'm sure this is another case where he could do it. And there's already been talk of that. We talked about it last week. The Brewers signed Neftali Feliz for 1 year. And, you know, are they going to look to flip him in July? I think that's a possibility as well. So that's another sort of notch in the pro Matt Wieters to Milwaukee column, is that he could be trade bait later on.
Yeah, he certainly could. He brought up the other names, you know, Feliz. You could throw, you know, a guy like Jabba Chamberlain in there too. You know, stock up on these guys that have track records on one-year deals, and then considering where you might be at the trade deadline, you can flip them for some prospects and accelerate the rebuild. So we'll see if Matt Wieters becomes the latest guy to kind of join that lineage of guys that could come into the team and pay dividends down the road in terms of some highly touted prospects. And Adam, to begin to wrap up here, the team announcing that in mid-July they're going to celebrate the 35th anniversary, that's hard to believe, of the 1982 American League champions. And yes, I said American League for you younger fans out there. The Brewers, of course, now residing in the senior circuit, but it appears that some big names are going to be at Miller Park that weekend, headlined, of course, by Robin Yount and friends. So how forward are you looking to this, Mr. McKelvey?
Well, look, I've been lucky enough in my gig to be around these guys before. I'm also, you know, at that time, I was a young Brewers fan myself. I've since been neutered of that fandom when you get into this job. But to be around those guys, they sort of slip right back into what you picture the clubhouse being at that time. They do that really quickly and easily. It was a unique group. A lot of players on that team have told me many stories about the characters on that club and just what a family it was. I mean, literally, they'd walk out into the parking lot after game and have a cold one with the fans sitting with their trunks open. It was a very unique relationship between a city and a team that really, the blue collar on both sides of that, and it worked. And really, you know, the best example of that is I don't know of many examples of losing World Series teams getting ticker tape parades down Main Street. That's what the Brewers got in 82 when they came back home. They had thousands of fans waiting for them at Mitchell Airport, and then they did a kind of a parade up Wisconsin Avenue to County Stadium where Rodney Yount took his famous lap around the warning track on a motorcycle. It was a very special team. You know, the Brewers keep celebrating it. I don't blame them. I know they would love to celebrate something more recent as well. They almost got there in 2011, and that team will at some point be celebrated as well. But I know they'd love to hang another banner up, and I think the members of that 82 club would welcome that as well, have a little company in the history of this franchise.
Yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't mind, but for now, to be celebrated again on another, you know, round number, I guess, this being 35 years since they won the AL pennant, certainly not a bad thing, and it's going to be a fun weekend at Miller Park in mid-July when the old crew, if you will, is back together once again. A good place to wrap this one up. Adam McKelvey, our Brewers reporter, will do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.